Now we're talking. I can hear myself. Okay, so I'll start from scratch. My name is Cătălin Olteanu. Been with UMT since about 2000, and I had a four-year stint in the middle when I worked at Microsoft. And just to throw some funny facts there, one of my jobs at Microsoft was actually to lead the engineering team working on Project Server 2010. So if you love Project Server 2010, do let me know after this session. If you don't, just reach out to Microsoft. It's not my job anymore. Coming back to serious sessions, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of set the stage a bit and talk a bit about what enterprise portfolio management means. Then I'll let my colleague Ben entertain you with his accent, which is much better than mine. And you know, when we think about, let me start with a show of hands. How many of you are familiar with UMT's products and services? Okay, that most of the people in the room. Out of those guys, how many of you do you think that our products are mainly about financial management? Okay, so one of my goals and, you know, our goals today is to show that there's a lot more to what UMT does than just financial management. And I guess, you know, based on the show of hands, most of you are already aware of that. So just to go back a bit into the history lane, the space we're in evolved and changed significantly in the past 15 years or so. So back in 2000, we're in the early 2000s, we used to talk about portfolio management and project management as separate disciplines with separate vendors, and UMT was one of the leading vendors in portfolio management and well-established companies and processes in project management, companies such as Microsoft with the Project Suite and Primavera and Niku and a few others. In the mid-2000s, so around 2004, 2005, there started to be a significant consolidation in the industry with analysts and customers looking more and more at integrated solutions for the project portfolio management space. So not you know, dealing with an end-to-end story that takes the portfolio planning from creating the initiatives to selecting, optimizing, to then planning and managing the entire portfolio of projects. So that's the context where there was a lot of consolidation in the space. All of a sudden, we started talking about project portfolio management, enterprise project portfolio management, and so on and so forth. However, if we fast forward to the 2013 and we're, you know, the 2012, 2013, there's a new evolution in our ecosystem. When we think about the IT world, most of the tools, platforms, vendors that are being used to enable the IT management are still working silos. So we talk about the project silo, project portfolio management silo, and we talk about the general ledger type of silo. We talk about application lifecycle management, application portfolio management, process management, asset management. All of these are managed through different tools and platforms. And most of the customers and you guys here have to deal with either custom integrations between the various tools and platforms, have to negotiate with various vendors and so on and so forth. So a few years ago, the industry started looking at what Gartner calls integrated IT portfolio analytics. So a layer that enables better visibility, transparency across the various IT silos. So UMT is one of the leading providers of solutions for the emerging IT portfolio analytics space. We call that enterprise portfolio management. And in short, this is about looking at more than the project, the portfolio of projects or the portfolio applications. It's looking at a holistic, or taking a holistic approach to the total spend in the IT organization and trying to understand or to bridge the gap between the different silos. When I think of our evolution as a company, and these are just some of the very recent accolades, UMT has been recognized consistently as a premier partner for the Microsoft project ecosystem. We've been named Partner of the Year last year in 2013. And Gartner sees us as, you know, both a cool vendor when they look at the technology for the project portfolio management space, and also as a visionary for the emerging IPA integrated IT portfolio management space. So without further ado, I'm going to pass the mic to Ben. And again, he's going to walk you through the journey of enterprise portfolio management. Thank you.
Thank you, Cătălin. Everyone hear me okay? No pictures yet. So when I think of what we're going to cover today, we're going to look at, as Cătălin said, we're going to take a look at the high-level concepts around enterprise portfolio management. But we did that with a session in Gartner, with Gartner, Donna Fitzgerald, earlier today. Out of interest, who attended Donna Fitzgerald's session? About 60%. So we'll go through that part quickly and make sure that the people didn't get some idea about the space. But there's three kind of takeaways that I want to look at. One is the first one here, you know, by onboarding enterprise portfolio management capabilities, these new concepts, you have the opportunity to take your PMO to the next level. The second is, when we think about UMT's unique differentiator for portfolio management and how we think about the space, it's really two things that we highlight. The importance of integrating your portfolios and the importance of driving financial intelligence. Of course, there's many more things, but those are the two foundational concepts that we empower within the tool. And the third takeaway is, because we're going to spend some time in the demos today, is that UMT 360 is the only enterprise portfolio management tool out there today that is built on SharePoint with seamless integration with Project Server. So it helps you get more from your Microsoft platform investment. So those are the three takeaways that I want to hit on. So let's look at enterprise portfolio management at a 100,000 foot view. Firstly, you know, scarcity is ultimately a reality for many organizations, right? It's with demand for growth exceeding the available capacity within the organization, making it difficult to find money to fund innovation, growth initiatives, because most of it is being consumed by the lights on or operational costs within the organization, as shown here, or the run investments, as Gartner likes to refer to it. The gap over the last few years between demand and capacity is growing. There's two primary reasons for that. One, the uncertain economy, you know, has led for many organizations to cut budgets, again, making it difficult to find money to fund innovation, and the lights on expenditure or the run costs consuming that. The second is, even if the budgets remain flat or even increase, every year operational costs rise, right? And that continues to erode your ability to innovate if left unchecked. So ultimately, it's a bit of a cliche, but ultimately executives stay under pressure to do more with less. And that's why they're turning to enterprise portfolio management techniques and capabilities to really help them drive both top line and bottom line performance. With enterprise portfolio management, you're going to have the ability to get full visibility over your operational spend and take action, right? And what you see here, have the ability to rationalize costs. You're going to do that through initiatives like application portfolio management, infrastructure optimization, sourcing. I mean, the list goes on. It's not my intention today to talk about these particular initiatives, although we are going to look at application portfolio management in UMT 360 in a demonstration. But before we look at some of the primary concepts around how you can get better visibility over your operational spend and improve how you execute through PPM to drive more ROI, I think it's important to step back, and Catalin touched on this a little bit, step back and ask, what is portfolio management? It's something that I struggled with over the years and been involved with it since the early 2000s. I think my first understanding, and still this may be the same for many people today, is that portfolio management is about aggregate reporting across one or more portfolio. And I think it is, but it's more than that. In the mid-2000s, when portfolio management really found a home within project and portfolio management, it was all about aligning investment with strategy and optimizing, setting the best portfolio. It is about that, but it's a lot more. The simple definition that I like to refer to is, it's about managing the interrelationships and dependencies that exist between your related portfolios to drive better business decisions, or better investment decisions. And because we're talking about investment decisions, you need to do the financial due diligence, have the financial transparency to help support those decisions. So it doesn't really matter what flavor of portfolio management that we see our clients embarking on, project portfolio, application portfolio, IT service portfolio, product portfolio, it doesn't matter. Sooner or later, it's like you find yourself on a freight train hurtling out of control towards the world, murky world of financial management. And financial management is key. So portfolio relationships, financial transparency, you'll hear that from me throughout the course of the day. So let's take a look at some of the sort of four principles to effectively managing your operational costs. Again, we're not going to drill into the initiatives themselves. We're going to look at some guiding principles. The first is more of a mindset change. So it's really got to look at your business, your IT assets, your projects as business investments. Understand, you know, their financial contribution, their risk, and as Donna Fitzgerald was talking about, the business value coming from them before you formulate your investment decisions and commit funds. So think of everything as a business investment that's going to consume funds, and you want to maximize that value from the portfolio. The next is one of the key ones, integrating portfolios. By bringing together your business and IT portfolios, you're getting full transparency and visibility across the assets that are consuming those dollars. Okay? You can basically bring them together, connect them, building a dynamic blueprint of your business's operating fabric. And if you look at this diagram here, this is a simple way of showing it. If we look at a business process or a business capability within the organization, a process or capability that's empowering that business, it can be broken down. You decompose it, there's going to be business expenditure, there's going to be IT expenditure. If we say on the IT side, maybe there's one or more applications supporting it. Applications in turn may have relationships with one another. Projects, maintenance activities, IT services contribute and support applications. So everything is connected, everything's bound together, and you need this visibility before you can start making decisions to take out costs. The second reason we talked about earlier around this is a new thinking, moving from project to product-based thinking, which basically says, now we have an understanding of a business capability and how the business capability is supporting the business, supporting your company. And we now can see everything within that. So we can actually make decisions at the higher level, at the business capability level, or as Donna referred to as the program level, rather than making it at the project level. So a whole lot of things are going to change. Investment allocation will be done at the capability level or an aggregate level, rather than maybe at a department level or a project level. So the next one is financial transparency. Of course, we're making business decisions, so financial transparency is key. Because we have this model now, we can flow financial information through it. So we can fully understand the fully loaded costs of all the elements within our model, and then we can look where we have a problem, we can take cost out. So going back to this example, you know, applications in this instance are containers of other things, and costs can flow up. So the cost of ownership of applications coming from projects, IT services, maintenance, and it's flowing up. So understanding how financial information flows through the model takes you beyond the sort of standard ERP, the chart of accounts view that you get, to allow you to see how you're spending money across your business and IT assets. And the last but not least is synchronization of roadmaps. This is, I like to think of this as a time-based relationship view. Being able to, once you make decisions on an asset or a program or whatever it is, see how that's sequenced through roadmaps, and more importantly, always understand the cross-portfolio impacts of any change. So let's say a project was going to be delayed, how that going to impact my asset portfolio, my business capabilities? Because we always understand the cross-portfolio impact of things. Does this make sense? I know it does to 60% of you that only heard this 2 hours ago, so hopefully. So let's say that, you know, you've onboarded these concepts. Now you can go ahead and look at different initiatives to take cost out of from an operational perspective. Now let's look at the top line. Let's look at how to maximize growth. So I think we all agree that project and portfolio management is a discipline that we use to drive innovation to market, take innovation to market, and drive revenue and other such things. But, you know, despite the significant investments in PPM over the last decade or so, it's simply failing to deliver the anticipated results. Although analysts don't agree necessarily on the exact stats, they all agree there is a problem. So you hear Standish Group saying 18% of projects are failing, 43% of projects are coming in late or over budget. Gartner say that one in three completed projects experience cost overruns. And even the good old PMI say that you're failing to get around 33% of the business value from your portfolios. So UMT's been in the PPM space for a long time now, and based on our research, failures to adopt certain enterprise portfolio management concepts can result in you losing up to 46% of the planned business value from the portfolio. And one of, I think, the primary reasons for this is, again, going back to what I said earlier, the failure to view projects as business investments, right? I think as PMOs, we spend a lot of time managing some of the tactical aspects of a project, schedule management, resource management, issues, risk. I'm not downplaying the importance of these. I'm just saying if you view projects as business investments, you've got to elevate the status of financials to look at optimizing the capital spend across your organization and maximizing the value or ROI you're getting from the portfolio. So let's take a look at how we can actually end up losing some of that 46% of planned business value. And I refer to these three things as the trifecta of business value erosion. The first one, innovation and estimating. So I think a lot of organizations are still operating in an annual planning mode, which is fine. Who here operates an annual planning mode? So I see a majority of hands going up. With that, in an annual planning mode, so demand can come from anywhere, right? Demand can come from anywhere across the organization, a project request in a structured form, through an email, through a hallway conversation, etc. But I think we're then looking to optimize that demand. But I never sort of stopped to ask myself the question, you know, do we have a problem with innovation? Are these the right set of projects to optimize in the first place? Or are we simply optimizing the best of a bad bunch? So if we go back to this sort of project to product-based thinking, by actually elevating some of the analysis up to an aggregate level to the programs, to the business capabilities that are empowering the business, you're going to actually make decisions at that level that ultimately is going to result in better demand, whether to invest to drive more growth, let's say, or revenue from a process versus, reducing costs in that process and making changes to some of the underlying assets. The next is around estimating. So cost estimating or unreliable estimates can result in problems, right? So overestimating on projects simply means, from an annual planning perspective, you're leaving good projects behind. So you're hemorrhaging business value early in the process. Underestimating makes it look like you're going to get a lot more value from the portfolio, but as you step through the execution period, you're going to start to have to cut projects, de-scope projects, and lose planned business value. Project success rates, we saw in the previous slide, 18% failure rates, cost overruns. Obviously, if you don't implement a project or fail to implement a project, you're not going to get the value. If they're running over budget, then you're going to have to de-scope or even cancel the project, or you won't be able to initiate other projects in your plan. Budget utilization is another interesting one. Maybe just not being able to start the projects due to resource management issues that you plan to in the planning horizon means you're not going to get the value. Even having unplanned carryovers, deferring the benefit to the next year, taking funds away from the next year investment, again, is going to result in you losing value from the portfolio. So three key areas of how business value can be eroded. And so we looked at the sort of top line, we looked at the bottom line. This is where UMT360 can help. It's a leading enterprise portfolio management solution that helps you to digitalize investment planning and controls across your entire business and IT portfolios, giving the transparency and the financial intelligence needed to drive better decisions, make smarter decisions, and improve top and bottom line performance. I think of UMT360, you can distill it down into sort of four themes. Connected enterprise, this is the integration of your portfolios to build that dynamic blueprint of your business and IT environment. The financial transparency, we've covered that already. We're leveraging a lot of the reporting capabilities in SharePoint to drive portfolio intelligence and views within a portfolio, across portfolios, to ultimately help you analyze trade-offs and finalize life cycle decisions on an application portfolio, an IT service portfolio, another business asset portfolio, and of course the project portfolio. Having finalized those decisions, you can tee them up in transformation roadmaps, and this is the thing we've talked about earlier, the ability to look at change across a roadmap and also look at the cross-portfolio impact of any change. So four key concepts. So UMT360, as I mentioned before, is the only enterprise portfolio management solution built on SharePoint with seamless integration with Project Server, helping you get more value from your Microsoft platform investment and take your PPM to the next level. So something we like to call PPM Plus. So we have a number of PPM Plus solutions we're going to talk about over the course of this week. And PPM Plus Financial Intelligence, which is getting the financial transparency, building the investment planning controls across the entire project lifecycle to help you optimize capital spend and ultimately get more ROI from your project and program portfolios. PPM Plus Application Portfolios, that's application portfolio management. Rationalize, modernize, get more business value from your application portfolios. And PPM Plus IT Business Management, which is the coming together, the integration of your three domains within IT, projects, applications, infrastructure, and then being able to more effectively run the business of IT. And we look at some of the accolades here, which Kathleen already mentioned. With the Cool Vendor accolade is related to our financial intelligence solution, where Gartner was saying many organizations, they struggle to integrate financial management best practices with traditional PPM. And the Visionary Award from Gartner's in the integrated IT portfolio analysis magic quadrant relates to both the application portfolio management and IT business management solutions. So that's enough of some of the theory. What we thought we'd do is focus on some demonstrations around the financial intelligence and application portfolio. So we'll jump into project and portfolio financial controls or intelligence first, a couple of slides, and then into the demonstration, and then we'll go to application portfolios. So again, what we're seeing is that the failure to integrate financial management and PPM is one of the reasons we got that 46% of loss of value. And I think one of the reasons organizations struggle to do so is they're relying on inadequate tools to do. So there's overuse of Excel, ERP systems, and PPM systems. So who's using Excel today across the project lifecycle to manage the financial aspects of projects? Show of hands. Really? Is that all? There's a few. So, you know, Excel's great, but, you know, it's difficult to govern from a, you know, integrated with your PPM governance processes, potentially error-prone, disconnected, difficult to report against in a seamless manner. Now, ERP systems, again, are used a lot for the financials for projects, but they provide the chart of accounts view needed by the finance team, but don't necessarily provide the full PPM, financial PPM views needed by the PPM team. And, of course, many traditional PPM tools that provide excellent project and portfolio management capabilities, execution oriented resource management, project management, but they lack the sophistication needed to really effectively manage project and portfolio financial controls across the life cycle. So this is where UMT 360 comes in. One, it eliminates the need for use of Excel, and it connects the ERP and PPM tools to provide complete financial transparency and intelligence across the portfolio by integrating project and portfolio financial controls. So when I think of our project financial intelligence story, it helps you to build those investment governance controls across the life cycle. It helps you capture demand and build more reliable financial estimates for those projects to effectively compare and contrast. Then it helps you track financial performance, drive variance analysis, and move to a more dynamic planning model. I'm not sure if anyone caught Frank LaRocca's session that just finished before this one, but he was talking a lot about how to drive financial intelligence and better move to a model where you're reallocating funds across your portfolio on a regular basis. And last but not least, it goes beyond the life of the traditional project portfolio or project lifecycle to provide benefits realization too. So what I thought from a demo perspective, we'd look at how to build a better business case. We'd look at some of the financial tracking and touch on benefits realization in the demonstration itself. And then we'll come back to some slides, look at application portfolio management and do a demo there. Does that sound good? Okay. All right, so looking at UMT 360 here on top of Project Server, we see the different tile views, these are ready-to-go modules around different aspects of the financials of the project. So I'm going to start with the business case analysis. I'm clicking on this tile. I'm going to be routed to an all-up investment planning dashboard. Now, for many of our customers, it's all about reports. And this is really used by steering committees, let's say, on a monthly basis to see which projects they're investing in, whether they have available funds to invest in more. So we're simply seeing here the overall organizational budget. This is important to note that UMT 360 helps you manage budgets at different levels, both top-down and bottoms-up. So enterprise, departmental, program budgets from a top-down perspective and roll-up project budgets against that. So you get best of both worlds. So we can see here we have an organizational budget here of 12 million and committed forecast, meaning these are the projects that are currently in execution, around 6 million, meaning we've got 50% of the budget still remaining. We then have the concept of pipeline, so projects that are in our pending stage, that are in the early stage of business case analysis, totaling around $12 million, but our available budget's only around 6 million. I'll come back to this in a second. So again, you can look across the departments here in terms of how they're funding, you know, look at variance analysis from a organizational budget versus committed forecast, even see how you're investing across the different stages in the project lifecycle, status, even the investment type, what's new for the year, what's a planned carryover, what's an unplanned carryover from the previous year. But ultimately, if I look here, I have $11 million in my pipeline projects, and I only have $6 million to invest. And what this widget's telling me here is that actually for the $6 million, I can get around 89% of the return from the portfolio at this stage. So I'm going to drill into this investment planning analysis view, and we're simply going to see a list of the available projects or the pending projects, the projects that are still in the pipeline. And they're sorted by, in this case, strategic yield. Strategic yield is a concept of taking the value, the strategic value of the project, dividing by the cost, and you get that yield number. And we can see here from a highlighted perspective, simply, this is where we start to run out of money. All right, so this is where we meet our budget threshold, and these projects can't be funded. I could change these metrics now and sort from different metrics, and you'd see that line change. You may want to drill down and take a look at a project that's on the cusp, right? This is just on the edge. So let's drill down to the innovation management project. And you can see that we're back now into the familiar view within Project Server. So this project's currently in the define stage. You can see that through the UMT 360 workflow visualization here. And we can see all the forms that are needed at this stage. So obviously, project details, schedule, strategic impact are forms that you're used to that come from Project Server. Other forms that you see here are coming from UMT 360. And the first point to note is how well integrated this is, right? To the end user, it's seamless. It feels like it's Project Server, and that was by design. But even if I go into some of the sort of traditional views that you're used to, so let's open up a project details, which is obviously housing, you know, the standard metadata for this descriptive data for this project. We also have the ability to extend these views, providing conditional logic and validation rules. So if I come in here for operations, notice the next field's investment type, owner, etc. If I come in here and select finance, another field displays, right? So based on different values selected, we can display different fields. So maybe we come in here, select plan carryover, and unplanned carryover, sorry, and a justification field comes up. So you can establish conditional logic and rules, providing a lot more flexibility within the standard forms that you're used to from Prog. So obviously from a cost estimates and benefit estimates perspective, that's important. Let's open up the cost estimates view. So here we're looking at the cost estimates here. You have the ability to standardize your financial structures. Here we're seeing information broken down by four levels of detail. What's interesting, by each stage in the workflow, you can control the level of information needed. So users being prompted to enter information by quarter here and capture it at level four in the detail. Now, obviously, I've already entered the information to save time. You can see that this triangle here represents that these labor costs are being pulled in from Prog, right? Obviously, we can manage resource assignments in Project, in resource plans, web-based schedule in Project Pro. So wherever you're managing those resource assignments, we can sync with the time-based grid and pull that information in too. Another important thing to note is multi-currency. If you're looking for multi-currency, there's full multi-currency capabilities enabled across all the financial structures that we maintain. So we're looking here at a very high-level cost estimate, but we've gone far away from just one or two custom fields capturing costs. We're really providing a different level of detail, and you can choose the level of detail needed at any time in the project's lifecycle. We often see the concept of financial amplification as you move through the project, and you start high level and keep drilling down as you move through the life. So next, we could take a look at allocation. So I can now look at breaking that total project cost number down by funding source within the organization. Many different ways that you can do this. Here's an example on a percentage basis. I can come in here, look at these allocation centers, put 40% to IT, 30% to finance, and so forth, and the remaining to operations. Or I could add these allocation centers into the grid and break it down manually. So we're capturing some robust cost estimates here. Now we can take a look at capturing benefit estimates too. So here we're seeing multi-year benefit estimates being captured. I'll turn it to the view that you should be seeing. So we're capturing it at level two within the financial structure and by years. But if you had more information, you could simply drill down and extend the grid and capture more information too. So the ability to consolidate cost and benefit information, we now have my cost and benefit information within the tool, within my planning and execution system, alongside other metadata that I'm maintaining. So next we can take a look at associations. So UMT 360 allows you to bring portfolios together. Now, from a project and portfolio management perspective, one of the obvious ones is mapping a project to a program, right? So here I've just mapped my project to the program it supports. If I click on my global innovation program, we're actually going to be routed to the program itself. Let's go to here. We're actually at the program level now. The program is a living and breathing entity in its own right. Here we see it's being managed by a separate workflow. We're even able to consolidate and have top-down budgets at the program level. So this is a budget for cost at the program level, even benefits at the program level. And we're able to roll up the bottom-up estimates from the projects, or the bottom-up project costs here, based on those associations. So you have the ability to look at top-down, bottom-up. It's very, very flexible. So I'm going to actually return back now. We'll see if I click on the associations here, we'll see a more complicated view. We're looking at the program level now. We see all the projects that are impacting this program and how the data is flowing up through the system. So I can return back to the project that we're on, Innovation Management Framework. So survey management is another capability, and there's a question at the back. I am indeed. So let me just go back to make sure that was clear. So when you can establish the relationships between different portfolios under management. Here we're looking at very simple projects and programs. So if I open up this mapping that I would know, you'll see what you're able to do. So I've mapped this to my program, and I'm able to capture the percentage of, if I want to aggregate financial information, what percentage should be aggregated? Because it's a project or program, it's going to be 100%. Now, if you have a project supporting multiple applications, maybe you're going to break it down on a different percentage basis. So you can have a functional mapping, this maps to this, and then you can decide how financial information flows based on those relationships. So when I went to the program level, the program had its own top-down budget, but the other budget, the bottom-up budget, was being coming up into those other cost views based on that mapping. Does that make sense? Another question. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, you decide which views you want based on where you are at the project level, where you are, and which stage in the workflow, right? So just like with project, these are the forms I want to see. If you need financial views, if you need surveys, you're going to display them. Now, when the relationship is established, that data will automatically aggregate, right? So as soon as I enter it at the project level, it's going to go to the program, to the portfolio, depending on how you establish that hierarchy. It's definitely there. I just haven't shown you it yet. So we started the dashboards and worked down. And we, you know, here's Project Center here. If I clicked here, you'd go to Project Center and see all the projects. Make sense? Okay. So survey management is another element. So with UMT360, you can build and manage any number of surveys in the tool. So, you know, risk is just a good example. So this survey took, you know, it's very simple to build. It's like, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to build it, publish it, associate it with the project, assuming you know the questions. And so here you can see the different questions that is basically going to derive a risk score. So we can do that from a strategic impact perspective, a risk perspective, a probability to assess, whatever surveys you want at each stage in the life cycle you can render, right? So even beyond the life of the project, maybe a lessons learned you're going to have and so forth. So very, very, very flexible. So I'll end with the... business case summary report. So again, all this information at the business level is going to be broken down, leveraging the standard reporting capabilities that come out of the box. We'll see some of the high-level metrics here for this project. It's total cost, it's total benefits, strategic value, strategic yield, the risk score coming from the surveys, and so forth. We could even look at the cost and benefit breakdown, who's funding it, even payback periods at this early stage in the project's life. So I hope what I've shown you so far is the ability to build a very strong business case on top of Project Server leveraging some of the UMT360 capabilities. Does that all make sense? Another question at the back. This particular business case is tied to the project. I could go to the program level and see a similar view for the program. So again, these are independent objects which we're mapping together, but the program has its own business case which could aggregate information from projects if you wanted to do so. So think of any entity as independent until you define the relationship. So I have my program portfolio, my project portfolio. We'll look later at an application portfolio, and you bind them all together through relationships and how you want the data to flow. Which number, sorry? Yes, any financial. We're looking at two financial structures today, cost and benefit, which are the two out of the box, but you can define any number. And yes, you decide how you want that information to aggregate based on rules. Well, UMT 360 is a tool that allows you to build the different portfolios that you want to manage the relationships, and of course there's a lot of intelligence through some of the reports I'm showing you now that you get. Now, from a portfolio, if you look at Project Server, it has some portfolio analysis capabilities, right? The optimization capabilities that Microsoft acquired from UMT back in 2006. So we're still leveraging that within the course of the story, right? So all the financial information at the project level is also available to be used within that optimization analysis. It's still the strongest optimization analysis on the market today. Make sense? I may need to pick the pace up, but let's move to another stage in the project's life. Let's look at financial tracking. Make sense? Everyone will see financial tracking? All right, let's look. Catalin does. So here's Project Center. It didn't go away, you see? Here's Project Center here. So let's return back, and we always start at the dashboard level. Let's look at tracking. So we will start at... pick up the cost tracking and variance analysis. So again, what we're going to step through is tracking actual costs, forecasting remaining costs, and rolling that up through the model. Here we're looking at a portfolio level view and organizational view. I can see how I'm faring across different departments, budget versus actual forecast, the variance, etc. I can look at the current year. I can look at all years. You can drill down and see some standard variance views. I can actually see here that our forecast is less than our budget at this stage. Not rocket science. But let's take a look at some of the variance analyses coming out of the tool. So there's three views here. The first is showing you the worst performing projects in these different categories across the enterprise. The first is showing you the projects that are most over budget, right? So we can see here top variance. So these projects have actuals or forecasts, greater than the planned budget. So what do you want to do with these ones? Maybe these ones you're going to require a change request to be raised. Maybe you're going to look at canceling them, de-scoping them, but this is just one category you should look at. Next is the opposite. This is surfacing projects with the negative variance, projects that current forecast is less than what was planned, right? So what do you want to do here? You want to early on take money back, right? You want to take money back from those and reinvest that money into other projects, whether you're going to fund the overruns of the first category or whether you're going to bring in new pipeline projects from the portfolio. And the third category here is what I like to call the wolf in sheep's clothing. This is the one where the project manager is currently under budget, but is aggressively and optimistically saying, I'm going to make it back, right? I'm reforecasting, I'm going to get back on plan. And you want to watch these ones carefully, right? Because this causes the Q4 nightmare. This causes the Q4 budget utilization nightmare where suddenly the guy says, sorry, I'm not going to do it. And you could have taken that money back earlier, right, and reinvested it. And this is what we're talking about. And Frank LaRocca had a session earlier talking about a moving to an agile planning process where you're continuously looking at these variance metrics, looking to reallocate funds across your portfolio to maximize and optimize your capital spend, and ultimately do what we need to do, which is maximize the value you're getting from the collective, from your entire project portfolio. So simple views, but very important views. So let's follow it through. We'll drill down at our health assessment reporting project. Oh, shut down my email. Sorry, our demo machine didn't work, so we went to our backup demo machine, so I should have shut down my email. So here we're looking at the health assessment reporting tool financial status report. We can see the budget actual forecast at the highest level. We can see what's happening. This is currently running over budget, forecast greater than budget. We can look at that on a monthly breakdown. Burn down charts, forecasts, variances, all the views that you'd expect to see. You can also expand this view and see a lot more detail behind the different metrics that we're we're looking to track for this particular project. So here, far more detail on budget actuals. Here we can see that we're 32% over budget when we look at forecast versus budget. What's interesting, we'll look at this in a second, we're able to always compare the current run, the current cost of the project with early stage estimates and look at how accurate we were through the process. It's something we're laser focused on. We want to understand how accurate we are at different funding points in the project life cycle so we can hedge that into our overall planning. So here at the first, at the early case business stage, we're actually now 142% over. At the second stage business case approval, we're actually 132% higher. So we can start gauging organizational intelligence there. Now, let's drill down and take a look at the project itself. Now, what we're going to expect to see here is the project is obviously in its execution stage. So again, looking at the UMT 360 workflow graphic here, I can dynamically see that I'm in execute. Let's just think about what's happened here. I went through define, which is to build my high-level business case. I had my first no-go decision. That's when a snapshot was taken, keeping an auditable record of financials and other metadata. We went through the detailed planning, where the project manager picks it up, builds a schedule, assigns name resources, captures more financial information, and we go into another no-go decision. Again, we take a snapshot, an auditable record, and we can compare and contrast. So if I generate a similar view to what I showed you before, the business case review, this is actually going to show that information based on those snapshots. It's going to compare and contrast our phase one, our early business case, against our phase two, our detailed business case, and look at key variances. For example, here we can see that the benefit went up, or went down actually by 10%. The costs increased by 8%. And you know, we have an overall impact on our strategic yield. The value stayed the same, the cost went up, it's impacted our strategic yield. So you can look at these indicators and decide whether you want to actually go back and re-optimize the portfolio if you're getting less of a bang for the buck for this particular project. So again, we can look at the allocations across the phases, the difference in paybacks across the phases, and so forth. But very, very powerful, used by all our customers. So we're looking at tracking, so you're going to expect to see views like cost tracking, cost reforecasting, views now available based on where we are in the life cycle. So if I click on the cost tracking view, it's basically going to allow us to capture the actuals for an open status reporting period. If you're like 90% of our customers, you're normally operating your financial status reporting or your all-up project reporting on a monthly cadence. Who here, the eighth day or the fifth, doesn't matter, the fifth or eighth day of the business month reports on the previous business month, previous month. Is that common for most of you here? I thought so. So this is what we're demoing in this particular example. So we see the open period is June, and I have my actuals for June. There's three ways actuals can come into the system. One, manually, obviously. The second is we have a data import module that pulls financial information from mainstay ERP systems, SAP, Oracle Financials, and others. And the third is from timesheets itself, right? You can just pull the information based on the actual work done for the period. So you as a PMO can manage this, right? I'm not going to show you this, but you have the ability to open the status reporting period for the month of June, let's say, for all your projects in execution. The project managers are then encouraged to come in, complete their status reports. When they submit here, it's going to lock them out. You're going to get, you're going to get notified as a PMO that report is ready. And then you know, you can start running your management reports when all the reports are completed, or when the financial status reports are repeated. And when you reopen open the next period for the next month, then we're going to archive that. So you keep a trending analysis of all the previous reports that were submitted. So obviously, to drive variance analysis, we don't just want to compare actuals against budget. We also want to look at remaining costs against budget or forecast. So there's a forecast view here too. And all past periods are locked now. I can only capture remaining costs or forecast costs for the open periods, and that's going to drive the variances that we capture within the tool. So this project, as we saw earlier, was running 32% over budget. So you may have reached a threshold, depending on how you want to manage the governance controls you have in the organization. You may have reached a threshold where you want to raise a change request to request more funds for this project. So I simply go to my approved budget, and we have a whole change request management system that allows you to govern that incremental funding process. So very easy to come in here, create a new change request. which I won't do. I'm actually going to cheat based on time. I'm actually going to copy information from one table to another. So if I look at my forecast table, I'm actually going to copy my forecast, my remaining costs, over my budget, which, if you think about that for a while, that's the same as creating a change request. The tool instantaneously tells me there's no way I'm going to let you do that. This project is in execution. We've locked the budget. We've raised a change request on your behalf. You determine how that change request is routed or who it goes to, and if approved, obviously it's going to update the approved budget for the project. If rejected, we just keep an auditable log of that. So here's that change request that's been created. We can drill down and learn more about that. We can even see who's set to approve here, which I think we need to update our demo data, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Apparently, it's going to the administrator and everyone in the organization, which is obviously not what's going to happen, right? So what we just looked at was at the highest level, rolling up these financial status reports to the portfolio level, drilling down and administering the financial statusing on a project-by-project basis, and raising a change request. Does that make sense? Any questions on this one? Quick time check. I got to 4:30, right? Yeah. So, who wants to see some benefits realization? No. Okay. Raise your hands, benefits. There's some. I know you do. So, I'm going to go through this pretty quickly because you're going to understand the core concepts of tracking benefits based on how we track costs. We track any financial structure in a similar manner. Let me just reverse out of here. So looking at benefits realization, again, we're going to be looking at 2014. We're going to be focused on this demo more on financial benefits, or there is the capability to look at non-financial benefits too within the tool. Here we're seeing a report that's summarizing all our benefit categories. We could drill down within different categories that we've defined, growth versus expense reduction versus compliance. And we can again see how we're accruing benefits across the different lines of business here. We can see that there's a variance analysis. We're actually underperforming from a benefits perspective, and I can widen my search here and look at all years. As we drill down, we'll see the variance analysis, similar to what we saw at the project level. But this view here is showing the negative variance, right? The projects that supposedly are not achieving the anticipated benefits. So what, of course, we're trying to do here is make sure that we're not using the business case once in the project's life cycle, right? We're using the business case beyond the life of the project. So if I actually drill down now to the Dynamics CRM project, again, just the way we flow, we go from the portfolio level to a report that looks at this project's benefit status, very similar to the cost tracking. We see similar views. We can see here that the budget is way higher than, or the plan was way higher than the actual and the forecast for the benefit for this project. And I'm just going to go straight to the project. You'll see that we're moved into the evaluation portion of the project's life cycle as we define this workflow. Of course, you can define workflows of your choosing. So here we can see we're in evaluation. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to complete a project to start tracking benefits, right? We manage cost timelines, schedule timelines, and benefit horizons too, right? The benefit horizon has been set up here, so it started when the project completed. If you start accruing benefits during the life of the project, I'd simply start my benefit time horizon earlier. But again, this is just a simplistic example. So again, what am I seeing at this level? Well, we looked at cost tracking and cost forecasting. Now I'm seeing benefits tracking and benefits forecasting too. So we'll just take a look at benefits tracking. Again, the same mechanics exist for any financial structure that we're maintaining. So we're able to do a benefits status report for this particular project. But notice one key difference. I'm not going to take you through all the stuff I took you through before. We're tracking benefits at a quarterly basis. We were tracking costs at a monthly granularity, right? So you get to choose how you want to track, half yearly, yearly, quarterly, monthly, whatever you need. So the ability to estimate benefits, we looked at that in the business case. The ability to track benefits during or beyond the life of the project is there. And of course, if you want to reforecast benefits too, you can do that too. So, yeah, because I switched demo machines, I don't actually have the the lessons learned survey. So again, benefits realization, you know, when occurring outside of the project, we'll also want to look at other evaluation criteria for that project. So having things like lessons learned surveys, other things, is just good practice as well. So with that, I'm actually going to quickly reverse out of this and switch back to the slides. Please. Again, we have a data input module where we can pull it in. If it exists in another system, we can pull it in. But I was assuming manually entered in that particular demo, so I didn't see where the question came from. So it can be manually entered, or you can pull it in if benefit information is being maintained in another system, just like we pull in cost tracking information or actuals from ERP systems. Does that make sense? Sorry, I'm still not sure who asked the question. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm glad you mentioned that. So again, we looked at sort of project level benefits tracking there, right? But of course, we can do it at any level, right? So you may end up estimating benefits at the project level, but tracking at an aggregate level, right? So we could go back from the project to the program, right? So I could have all my projects, maybe have a program around revenue growth, a program around customer sat, employee sat, whatever it is, key metrics that you're looking, and you want to actually track the net change of that, or the target versus the actual at the program level. So again, the flexibility of being able to do top down and bottom up, but choose where you're going to track, is key in establishing that framework. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, I haven't got it set up in this demo, but yeah, we can. There's different ways of doing that. It can even be as creative as if you know the conversion of your non-financial metric back to a financial metric, right? So if you know, I don't know, if you're looking at a customer sat in a percentage term and you know that every point of that is going to derive about a revenue, we can actually look at that conversion too. But again, the demo environment kind of is a middle of a road scenario. You know, there's obviously more advanced scenarios that we support too. Right, so when we think about project financial intelligence, there's a phased approach we see many customers looking at to implement the whole PFI. The first is starting with sort of establishing the financial management foundation, establishing your investment planning controls, standardizing your financial structures, making sure all the financial information is consolidated within your planning and execution tool. The next is integrating with LOB systems such as SAP, Oracle Financials, integrating that important actual financial information. And now you have all that information in one place, automating those management reports. So you spend less time as a PMO building the reports and more time analyzing your portfolio. The next is then looking at the portfolio level to continuously analyze and optimize your capital spend, moving into that reallocation of funds that we touched on, whether to invest in more in certain projects, take money away from other projects, let projects give you money back, or forcefully take projects away from those Q4 nightmares that we looked at. And last, establish a benefits realization framework. Now, you don't have to follow this order, but you know it's just a simple depiction. So let's take a look at application portfolio management. Some quick stats. We looked at stats on projects. Some quick stats on application portfolio management. When you look at what Gartner says, that over 35%, or actually 35% of your total IT budget is dedicated to your applications, right? When you drill down, around 50% of that is going to maintaining your legacy applications or your applications. So 50% of that budget is on maintenance. When you look at the cost of ownership of an application, 92% of the costs, or over 90% of the costs, occur after the application came online. So the initial project to bring the application online is just the start of the story from a cost and a cost of ownership perspective. So there's a significant tail to these applications. And that's one of the reasons why many organizations now are looking at application portfolio management to look at, you know, rationalizing those costs, modernizing the portfolio in line with to better meet business needs. But what Gartner says is the average maturity level for APM is very low. It's 1.37 out of a potential 5. Now, that basically means that many organizations are maintaining an application catalog with probably stale data, right? They're not continuously feeding it, continuing it through. So there's a lot of goodness that we can do by bringing on board application portfolio management best practices. But again, to me, this draws into play the nature of the integrated portfolio. Application portfolio management without PPM, you know, is not as strong on its own, and vice versa. ITPPM gets stronger when you bind the applications to it. So from an application portfolio management perspective, obviously you're going to maintain an inventory, you're going to analyze your application portfolio, you're going to finalize investment decisions for each asset, which is then going to be transacted through your PPM discipline, right? That's when projects are created, you're going to build a business case, they're going to vie for funds, you're going to plan that portfolio, you're going to execute that portfolio, and then update the application inventory. So there's a cyclical effect here and synergies between the two disciplines when they're brought together. Does that slide make sense? Okay, so again, UMT360 provides that integrated APM, PPM capabilities here. And again, when I think about our APM capabilities, now you have the ability, obviously, to standardize governance across applications, much like you standardize governance across projects, to build out that application catalog, maintaining lots of rich metadata around that application. But also, that's going to be continuously updated, right? So it never becomes stale. Now, because we understand all these relationships that exist between the portfolio, projects to apps, infrastructure to apps, maintenance activities to apps, we can dynamically derive cost of ownership based on those models. Provide powerful portfolio analysis that help you finalize those investment decisions, whether to maintain, enhance, retire an application, and those decisions are then captured in the road mapping views that we provide. So I thought we'd spend a little bit of time on APM. So let me switch back. So I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. So we'll start to take a look at some of the application portfolio management capabilities. This is routing to a business capabilities dashboard. So in our model here, we're mapping our projects to our applications back to business functions and business processes or capabilities that are supporting the organization. And of course, we can flow money through based on these relationships. So what we're seeing here is actually a list of the high-level business capabilities in the organizations, and they're prioritized. We've taken those capabilities. These are entities in their own right. We're actually impacting them against strategy and understanding their business importance. So we're driving a survey and a score. And now we can look at the cost back against these business processes. So you can see here the relative priority of the business process and how much we're investing. And procurement here, we're significantly over-investing. We may want to drill down and learn more. I can drill down into procurement, take a look at how we're breaking down the costs from an application development perspective, from an infrastructure perspective, and so forth. But I may want to look at, is there any redundancy within that portfolio? Do I have many applications supporting the business functions within this process? So I'll move to my redundancy dashboard here, and we can see the number of functions, lower level functions within here, and the cost of this overall process. I can see the different functions within the process. I can actually drill down within strategic sourcing, and there are a number of applications supporting this one function, which we want to further investigate to look if there's any redundancy. We can see some high level metrics against each one of these applications, and I can even go and generate time analysis views. Who here is familiar with time analysis from Gartner? A few raise hands. So we'll look at this in a second. So time analysis, you know, it's an acronym. It stands for tolerate, invest, migrate, and eliminate. So it's one of these favored bubble chart views. So if we go back to the procurement, we're looking here at just the application supporting procurement. And it's generated here looking at the risk metric and the business fit of each application. This is an inverted risk, so a low number is bad. So if you look at the top left-hand quadrant from time, this is a low risk, low business fit. You may choose to tolerate these applications. On the next quadrant, top right, this is I for invest. You may want to invest in these applications. The bottom right, you may want to migrate. And when you have a high risk, low business fit, you may want to eliminate these applications. So it's suggesting potential decisions you may want to make on your application portfolio based on how they're falling, based on the metrics that we're maintaining for each application. So I can go back now and drill down to the application inventory itself to learn more about CLM analytics, which happen to be actually sitting in the eliminate quadrant. So again, we're looking here now. Before we were looking at a project portfolio, now we're looking at an application portfolio. And you get the ability to define the forms and views that you need, the workflow to control the application through its life cycle as needed. So we'll take a look at the report for this particular application first. So a lot of metadata that's being maintained here, and we'll look at that through visualization. So we see some of the high-level stats for this, total cost of ownership, license utilization. And we can see how those stats change over time because we're snapshotting the data for that application, both financial and non-financial, as needed, so we can see how things improve or don't. Now this, again, the decision we're going to take on this application is actually to eliminate it based on the further analysis. So you can break down the application information just like you would do for project information. But let's take a look at the associations view for this particular application. This is going to be a more complex view than what we saw before. This application is supporting that strategic sourcing function, right? It's impacting other applications within the portfolio. I can see the application development projects that are associated with this application. I can even see the maintenance activities associated with this application too. Now remember, these are the relationships this application has with the other entities we're managing, and it's also helping us derive the cost of ownership. So the cost of ownership of this app is coming from the project cost, the infrastructure cost, the maintenance cost of that application. It's dynamically flowing up. Now, we looked at some of the metrics earlier, but again, we're looking at using our survey capabilities to derive those metrics. Whether we're looking at business fit here and the survey used to derive business fit, or whether we're looking at risk assessment and the survey used to derive risk. Of course, you can come up with multiple surveys of your choosing. These are the surveys that fit the time analysis view recommended by Gartner. So ultimately, there's a decision to retire this application. We want to look at the roadmap for this application. So introduce a transformation roadmap view for any asset that you want to see. So here we're seeing the time-based relationships for this particular asset, which happens to be an application. So this is a CLM analytics application. We can see the different projects that impacted it. This is the project that brought it online. This is a project that enhanced it in 2012 and 2013. And yeah, we've already captured the decision, so this was done earlier for you, but you have the ability to capture the decision to retire the application and map it to the project that is going to be used to do that. So I simply do that through my decision view, which I'll show you in a second. But again, we're not just looking at the application against the projects, we're also looking at the other applications that it impacts, even the business functions it's impacting. So we get a time-based view of exactly everything that's going on within that application. So, and of course, now once you create that decision, you can also create a project associated with that decision and map it. So here's a list of the milestones and decisions that have been made on this particular application. Here's the one that we entered earlier to retire it. So the name of the milestone, retire, the description was captured, the date you decided to do so, how you wanted to show that on the roadmap, the project that is tied to it based on the relationships and who made that decision. So a very nice way of looking at lots of different types of relationships. The functional relationships, how that application impacts other entities, the financial, then we flow financial information based on those relationships, and the time-based relationships too through the roadmap. Any questions on APM? Does it make sense? Okay. So, back to slides. So what we're looking at here is more of our broader story around integrated IT portfolio analysis. And again, a phased approach is required. What we see with many customers is, and again, this is mainly because we come from the PPM space, growing from PPM into APM, bolting on IT service portfolio management, and as you get through this, you know, building a greater IT financial management picture as you bind together these portfolios. So we really looked kind of the first two today, integrating your IT project portfolios with your application portfolios, but you can do IT service portfolio management too and map that all together. Again, when I think about UMT 360, it's, again, the only enterprise portfolio management solution built on SharePoint with seamless integration with Proj, integrates with lists, sites, EPTs in Project Server, compatible with both 2010 and 2013, which is important. And what I hope you saw, which is always a key takeaway from this stuff, is how well integrated from a UI perspective it was, right? If you're familiar with Project Server end users, this is not a steep learning curve. If you're familiar with configuring Project Server, you're going to be familiar with configuring the web pod infrastructure of UMT 360, right? It's very familiar, easy to use, designed for Microsoft folks. Now, we talked about this slide in Donna's session. It's going back to some of the concepts we discussed earlier in the session. But I think there's a great opportunity here for PMOs to take themselves to the next level by moving away from sort of the traditional PMO, embracing enterprise portfolio management concepts to become whatever it's going to be called, enterprise portfolio management office, enterprise program management office, but taking a more strategic view across the business than they do so today. And you know, I'm not going to go through all the items here, but from an investment focus, maybe today we're focused on the discretionary spend. Tomorrow, as an enterprise portfolio management, you'd be looking at both lights on, operational costs, and the discretionary spend, so a broader focus. From a portfolio focus, maybe you're focused on the projects today. Tomorrow, you're all portfolios and understanding how they map to the overall business capabilities in the organization. And I'll let you read the rest. But I think we are, as Donna talked about earlier, you know, at a pivotal point where we're going to start seeing enterprise portfolio management really becoming big in our world. Action plan. If you haven't done so already, please come and visit us in our booth and learn more about 360 and enterprise portfolio management concepts. I think we've got another demo happening at 4:40, so I'll be racing back there for that. Now, next week, yeah, take a look when you get back to the office. Take a look at what you're doing today around project financial management. Take a look at how you're doing application portfolio management or broader IT business management. See how you can take projects in to the next level and do a lot more with the investments you already have in SharePoint and project with the help of UMT 360. And you know, maybe next 30 days or so, think about reaching back out to us and scheduling an envisioning workshop. More than happy to spend a day with you guys discussing how enterprise portfolio management can help. Now, if you're part of the UMT learning experience, Nicole will be waiting at the end of the room to stamp your booklet. Again, there's an opportunity to win an Xbox One if you go through all the four key session tracks that we have within this great conference. So all that leads me to say is thanks for your time today. Happy to take any questions that you may have. Thanks for attending, guys.